Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning. It's Sunday morning. Good morning, and welcome to On Base Business 101. And thank you, Isaiah, as you do each and every morning, welcoming people to this show. Hey, you're listening to Baba Jahi on the We Work From Home Morning Show, our show that we do every morning, 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. every day, your drive time. Morning show, whether like today, whether you're on your way driving to church or like during the week driving to the job or just driving, period. And, hey, we thank you for, you know, tuning in and listening to this show as we share information with people concerning home-based business, also work-from-home opportunities, mindset, which is very, very important, you know, having the proper mindset to engage in these things, tax benefits, you know, we cover all of those different things. And, you know, hey, if you got a question or comment or something that you would like to see us cover in the future, give us a call at 252-406-0774. That's 252-406-0774. We'd be more than happy to have you, you know, hey, share your thoughts. Well, you know, I was reading an article yesterday about a university, and because, again, I don't like blasting people. You know, I just say, you know, a university, because it is a university, so I'm not going to call out the name of the university. But the university was concerned about the hairstyle of its business administration majors, and so they passed a rule saying that business administration majors could not wear their hair in locks or cornrows. And it's created, you know, a stir, you know. And people like, you know, what's this? What, you know, where is this coming from? Where is this going? And the thing is, you know, which is a good point of view, you know, in terms of people responding, saying that they don't think it's fair for the university to discriminate against how people should wear their hair based on what they're majoring in. And, you know, and I agree, you know, what difference does it make? You know, the thing that's really amazing about this now is, if you go get a picture of Bill Gates and the original people that founded Microsoft, you would look at that picture and say, no way in the world would they end up building a major billion, I guess, trillion-dollar corporation in terms of Microsoft. Because, you know, the picture, not against Bill, and but at the time when you look at that picture back there in the day, Bill and his business partner, they look like, you know, when we were called back in the 60s, looked like some hippies. But, you know, hey, they built a tremendous business, a company. When you're majoring in business administration, what are you majoring in business administration for? To learn how to run somebody else's business? Or to me, to learn how to build your own business? So, you know, but, people brought this issue up, you know, because there's a debate going on, and, you know, people was dealing with, you know, where people debate at. People like to debate on Facebook. Again, you know, hey, not complaining about Facebook, but, you know, hey, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, he gets his money. How much money do you get using Facebook? So, you know, if you use it, make sure you find a way to get paid for using it. But anyway, it's just debate going around on Facebook about this university and, you know, how people feel about it. You know, telling the young people that if you wear your hair like that, you know, it's not good business standards, and and you probably won't get a corporate job. And I disagree with that because I have seen people in corporate America who wear their hair that way. And I know quite a few business people who wear their hair in locks. I happen to be one, you know, and I own two businesses. And it's not so much, and especially in today's world, it's how you carry yourself and what you do and your character. And, the people shouldn't get caught up in the symbolisms. I think it's important. As long as you got good posture and character, I think you'll be all right in terms of business world. But more than anything, to me, if you're majoring in business administration and you're not thinking about how to own your own business, you're just going, you know, I mean, what is the purpose of learning business to me? The purpose to me of learning business is to own a business, you know, to own a business. Other than that, you know, you don't want to keep somebody's books, you can take accounting. But then if you do that, you know, you can open up your own accounting business. I mean, I guess it's just that I'm just really hung up on, you know, being a business owner, you know, because I know that, you know, there's a tax system for, you know, two types of people in this country. There's one for employees and one for business owners or employers. And the one for business owners and employers, you make out a lot better than the one, you know, as an employee. Plus, you know, the other thing that about being a business owner, you have time freedom. You get plenty of time freedom. So, I mean, you know, concerning that debate, you know, if it was up to me, no, hairstyle would not make a difference in terms of what you major in, period. To me, whether it's business administration or it's PE, you know, I mean, you look at some of the football players, you know, there's some people that say, well, you know, that's not proper attire for the NFL. You got football players, you know, hey, look at their hair. The guy I played for Pittsburgh, you know what I mean, Palmola, you know what I mean, his hair sticks way out underneath of the helmet, and then you got some people wear their hair in locks who sticks out underneath of the helmet. I mean, so I think when you start setting these kind of standards, you're prejudging people, and we should never prejudge anyone. Okay, I'm going to shift here a second, since it is Sunday. I'm going to share some information from one of the great books that I believe can really help you with your mindset and help you with your mindset real, real good. And that is a book by Norman Vincent Peale. And we're going to look at some information from chapter 4 called Try Prayer Power. Yeah. And I'm going to read some of this, and so just bear with me as I read this. He says, in a business office high above the city streets, two men were having a serious conversation. One heavily troubled by business and personal crisis paced the floor restlessly. Then sat dejectedly, hand in hand, in a pitch of despair. He had come to the other for advice since he was considered a man of great understanding. Together they had explored the problem from every single angle, but seemingly without result, which only served to deepen the troubled man's discouragement. I guess no power on earth can save me, he sighed. Said, I guess no power on earth can save me, sir. The other reflected for a moment, then spoke rather differently. I wouldn't look at it that way. I believe you're wrong in saying there's no power that can save you. Personally, I have found that there is an answer to every problem. There is a power that can help you. Then slowly he asked, why not prayer power? Somewhat surprised, a discouraged man, of course, I believe in prayer, but perhaps I do not know how to pray. You speak of it as something practical that fits a business problem. I never thought of it that way, but I'm willing to try prayer if you would show me how. See, this is something that's, again, in terms of business, and you know, I've talked to people, and I'm digressing a second, let me get back to the book. I've talked to people, and, you know, people say, you know, hey, I don't feel like hearing that prayer stuff, man. This is a business problem. You know, I got to take care of business. This is a business problem. I respect your thoughts, your beliefs, but you know, hey, this I got to take care of this. And see, as long as you keep saying that I, and you don't leave room, you know, for God to help you work a miracle for you. Okay, so the man says, you know, he'd be willing to try it to God show him. Okay, I get to the next paragraph. He did apply practical prayer techniques and in due course got his answer. Matters ultimately turned out satisfactory. That is not to say he did not have difficulties. In fact, he had a rather hard time, but ultimately he worked out his trouble. Now he believes in prayer power so enthusiastic that I recently heard him say, every problem can be solved and solved right if you pray. Experts in physical health and well-being often utilize prayer in their therapy. Disability, tension, and kinder troubles may result from a lack of inner harmony. It is remarkable how prayer restores the harmonious function of the body and soul. A friend of mine, a physical therapist, told a nervous man to whom he was giving a massage, God works through my fingers as I seek to relax your physical body, which is the temple of your soul. While I work on your outward being, I want you to pray for God's relaxation inwardly. It was a new idea to the patient, but he happened to be in a receptive mood, and he tried passing some peace thoughts through his mind. He was amazed at the relaxing effect this had on him. So, you know, the thing is again, see, we have to go inward. We have to relax. And one of the techniques that I use and the technique that, you know, I would suggest to you is that, you know, when you go to bed at night, you know, say your prayers and all of that, and then, you know, say, hey, I'm ready to go to bed. I'm ready to go to sleep. I need some rest. I don't need to worry about these things that I got to take care of. What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to my creative mind and through prayer while I'm asleep. My creative mind and God will come up with an answer to my problems, and in the morning I will be renewed and refreshed, and I will work on that answer that is given to me. And that's what I do. And, you know, you'd be amazed at how it works. I have a, you know, problem I'm working on now, and I've got a deadline to get results done by Thursday. And I started using this technique the last 2 weeks, and, you know, through an answer that was given to me, I've been applying that answer and that technique, and, you know, I'm raising the revenue I need to take care of a situation I need to take care of by this Thursday. So you can actually utilize this method. He goes on to say, Jack Smith, operator of a health club, which is patronized by many outstanding people, believes in the therapy of prayer and uses it. He was at one time a prize fighter, then a truck driver, later a taxi driver, and finally opened up his health club. He says that while he probes his patients for physical flabbiness, he also probes for spiritual flabbiness because he declares you can't get a man physically healthy until you get him spiritually healthy. See, and this is really, really important. See, you can't get a person physically healthy until you get him spiritually healthy. And I would say you can't get a person economically healthy, well, we like to say prosperous and wealthy, until you get spiritual prosperity and spiritual wellness. So you got it. It all ties together. One day, Walter Houston, the actor, sat by Jack Smith's desk. He noted a big sign on the wall in which were penciled the following letters: APRPBWPRAA. In surprise, Houston asked what those letters mean. Smith laughed and said, they stand for affirmative prayers release powers by which positive results are accomplished. I'm going to repeat that for you if you want to make sure you write this down, because I definitely believe in this. It says, affirmative prayers release powers by which positive results are accomplished. Houston's jaw dropped in astonishment. Well, I never expected to hear anything like that in a health club. He says, I use methods like that, says Smith, to make people curious so they will ask what those letters mean. That gives me an opportunity to tell them I believe in affirmative prayers always gets results. See, affirmative prayers, that's why affirmations are so important for you in your business. You should have daily affirmations. You know, it's the same, almost, you know, and you know, some people may not see it this way, but it's just, why does the Buddhist chant? They chant to get, one, relaxation, and also affirmations to affirm what it is that they want in terms of they manifesting their destiny. And so when you have affirmations, positive prayer affirmations, this is another form of chanting. And you become comfortable with it, and it relaxes you. And then at the same time, it helps you know that a higher power is going to help you accomplish what it is that you want to accomplish. Okay. Jack Smith, who helps men to keep physically fit, believes that prayer is important, if not more important than exercise. Steam baths and a rub down is a vital part of the power releasing process. People are doing more praying today than formerly because they find that it adds to personal efficiency. Prayer helps them to tap forces and utilize strength not otherwise available. A famous psychologist says prayer is the greatest power available to the individual in solving his personal problems. Its power astonished me. Prayer power is a magnificent energy. Just as there exist scientific techniques for the release of atomic energy, so there are scientific procedures for the release of spiritual energy through the mechanism of prayer. Exciting demonstrations of this energized force are evident. Prayer power seems able even to normalize the aging process. See, this is really good, because what happens through prayer power and staying focused, you have less stress. You have less stress. You keep your body from deteriorating faster. You need not lose your basic energy or vital power, become weak and listless merely as a result of accumulating years. It's not necessary to allow your spirit to sag or grow stale or dull. Prayer can freshen you up every evening and send you out renewed each morning. You can receive guidance and problems if prayer is allowed to permeate your subconscious, the seat of the forces which determine whether you take right or wrong actions. Prayer has the power to keep your reactions correct and sound. Prayer driven deeply into your subconscious can remake you. It releases and keeps your power flowing free. If you have not experienced this power, perhaps you need to learn new techniques of prayer. It is well to study prayer from an efficient point of view. Usually the emphasis is on entirely religious, though not cleavage, exists between the two concepts. Scientific spiritual practice rules out stereotype procedures, even if it does in general science. If you have been praying in a certain manner, even if it has brought you blessings, which it doubtlessly has, perhaps you can pray even more profitable by varying the pattern and by experiencing with fresh prayer formulas. Get new insights, practice new skills to obtain greater results. It is important to realize that you are dealing with the most tremendous power in the world when you pray. You would not use an old-fashioned kerosene lamp for illumination. You want the most updated lightning device. New and fresh spiritual techniques are being constantly discovered by men and women of spiritual genius. It is advisable to experiment with prayer power according to such methods as proven sound effective. If this sounds new and strangely scientific, bear in mind that the secret of prayer is to find the process that will most effectively open your mind humbly to God. Any method through which you can stimulate the power of God to flow into your mind is legitimate and usable. So you really want to understand this power. Really want to understand this power. And from Matthew 18:20, it says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." It also pointed to a further formula, namely, "If two of you shall agree on earth is touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:19. Also, it says, according to your faith, be it unto you, Matthew 9:29. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them, Mark 11:24. So it's important that we understand just prayer power, just prayer power, the power of prayer, and taking advantage of it. Remember, whatever things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. We're reading from this morning, Norman Vincent Peale, the power of prayer and prayer power and how to use it for your business. And the formula he comes up with is this: prayer rise, picture rise, actualize. My prayer rise have a daily system of creative prayer. A daily system of creative prayer. Talk it over with God very simply and directly in prayer. Do not talk to God as if it's some vast, far, shadowy being, but conceive of God as being with you right in your house or in your office. It's powerful. It can get scary now. Because, see, then you got to humble yourself. You're asking for the power of the Almighty. Ooh, don't play with that one now. Because, you can't trick God. See, you can't outwit God. So you can't trick him now. So it means you got to be serious. And you pray without ceasing. And you share what it is that you want. You say you prayer rise. So your prayer rise is something you should do daily in your life. Life full of prayer. Then the second point, he said, after your prayer rise, and you get insight from God, then you want to picturize. The second point of the formula is to picturize. The basic factor in physics is force. The basic factor in psychology is a realizable wish. The man who assumes success tends to already have success. People who assume failure tend to have failure. When either failure or success is picturized, it strongly tends to actualize in terms equivalent to the mental image picture. See, and another way of saying this is also when you decide what you want, get excited about having it. You get excited about having it, and the universe or God will help it manifest, will bring it to you and you to it. God wants you to be happy. So you got to picturize what you want. That's why vision boards are so important. You picturize it. You surrender the picture to God's will. That is to say, put the matter in God's hands and follow God's guidance. Work hard and intelligent. Practice believing and continue to hold a picturization firmly in your thoughts. Do this and you will be astonished at the strange ways in which this picturization comes to pass. In this manner, the picture actualizes that which you have picturized. Prayer rise and picture rise actualizes according to the patterning of your basic realizable wish when conditioned by the invoking God's power upon it, and if moreover you give fully of yourself to its realization. So these are the three-point prayer method: prayer rise, picture rise, and actualize. And that's what you want to be able to do. You want to be able to do that, and when you do that, you're going to unleash a power that you've never seen before in terms of helping you with your business. So, hey, that's again from Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, and that's chapter 4, Try Prayer Power. And, on the Sunday morning, that's what we wanted to share, for you to try prayer power. Remember, you want to prayer rise, picture rise, and actualize. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you, Luke 17:21. So you want to do that. And I want to close the show out this morning with Mark Yarnell, because he has something also for us to use around this. And he talks about, you know, we're born to be great. And he said that's not hype. So we want to close out with Mark here. And then I'll be right back after Mark and summarize today's show.
For 10 days in a row, I want you to listen to this information once a day until it becomes burned into your brain. And that's not 10 times in one day. I want you to do it for 10 days in a row, and on the 11th day, you will be a changed person. I want you to listen to me very carefully. By the way, my name is Mark Yarnell. You were born to be great, and that's not hype. The only people who have the courage to enter network marketing, which is the most competitive field in capitalism in North America, the most competitive continent on the planet, are the people who are cognitively and neurologically hardwired to earn millions of dollars. But you need to understand one important rule before you can raise your personal bar. Few people ever figure this out on their own. So listen very carefully, listen closely, and think about what I say very, very intelligently. Mull this over in your brain. Once you get it, it's all over. You will go to a radical income very, very fast. Here it is. If anyone has ever accomplished anything, you can too. If anyone has ever accomplished anything, you can too. When my friend Rocky Blyer first got back from Vietnam, he was told he would never walk again, let alone run. Instead, through personal commitment, he soon scored a winning touchdown in the Super Bowl as a walk-on player drafted by the NFL with zero NFL experience. You see, even, you know, I've heard the argument, well, I couldn't win a golf tournament, I couldn't score a touchdown. Let me tell you something, folks. You can do anything. Even crippled people can compete in the most demanding professional sport in North America once they realize one fact. It's been done. So they can do it, too. Now, all these stories you've heard about country guys like me making millions, retired 78-year-old butchers like Jimmy Smith, and poor immigrants like Costa earning millions of dollars a year in MLM are true. And you know what? We only have one advantage that you're about to have when this call is over and you've listened to it enough to appropriate it for yourself. We figured out that if other people had ever earned over $100,000 a month, we could too. Hey, if anybody had earned $1 million a month, we could too. Hey, it's already been done. That means it can be done again. If you couldn't do it, if you didn't have the potential, if you weren't cognitively hardwired to make that kind of money, you would have never gotten into this industry. You would have never had the courage to be a networker. That's what takes courage. Remember the song by America years ago called Tin Man? Remember that famous line? Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. Well, I want to give you something that you already have. I'm giving you permission to earn $100,000 a month. Anyone who tells you that you can't is a rotten liar, a dream stealer. Don't listen to them. Remember, if anyone has ever done anything, you can too. And now that all the secrets of all those so many people, how they did it, all the winners are available to you and to your whole downline through our Holy Grail training, you can do it much faster. Now you know how they did it. You've always had the courage, the heart, and the brains, just like the Tin Man and the Lion and the Scarecrow. Now I'm giving you permission. Listen to me carefully. You were born to be great and earn millions. You've now got permission. Get after it.
All right. That'll wrap up today's show. And, hey, he said you got permission. Go after it. Hope you have a great, wonderful week. Thank you again for listening to the We Work From Home Morning Show. And this has been Baba Jahi. And, hey, God willing and the creek don't rise. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we'll be right back on these airwaves with another edition of the We Work From Home Morning Show. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.